Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. I'll get back to your phone calls in a moment, but I wanted to talk to Dr. Bob Zybeck, who's the president of Northwest Maps Company, who's been very involved in an issue. And I want you to imagine this. Think about this, and Dr. Zybeck will correct me if I'm wrong. Imagine that you are the folks who run a state, and you say, we want to make sure that education is well taken care of. So you say, let's take this gigantic asset, one of the assets owned by a state, any state, but in this case, Oregon, and it might arguably have once been worth $800 or $900 million. And you used to make money on a regular basis from operating that asset. It happens to be the Elliott State Forest. And then the day comes where the state has adopted so many restrictions to hamstring use of that asset, that forest, that it's not only not making money anymore, it's losing money. So the folks who run the state, Democrats, Democrat governor, Democrat attorney general, Democrat legislature say, well, why don't we take the asset and sell it? And we'll take the money and we'll stuff it into the, you know, the common school fund and make sure that the obligation that was created so long ago is fulfilled. And the governor says she doesn't want to do that. Or she did at one point. She was for it before she was against it, et cetera. And so they're not going to do that. And now... now the governor has put $100 million in purchase bonds up so that, if, I guess the way I understand it, Dr. Zybeck, the state is going to buy the forest from itself? What kind of cockamamie, Bernie Goldberg, not Bernie Goldberg, but Bernie Madoff kind of math is that?
It doesn't make any economic sense. The land is held in trust for the school children. So the trustees have been the same since 1859. But since about 1990, they've proven themselves incapable of managing the state lands, including the Elliott Forest. And so there's been hundreds of millions of dollars in foregone lost income and hundreds of millions of dollars in reduced property value due to mismanagement.
And now the governor has said she wants new and innovative plans for the Elliott. Of course, all of that within the rules and regulations, which have turned this profit-making asset into a money-losing deficit. So what is it she expects to do? And is there any chance that she'll adopt the Gezi plan that you've come on and talked about so often on this program?
She asked for new and innovative proposals and then ignored them. She said she wanted to have jobs for Coos County and Douglas County. The Gezi plan produces over 400 direct and indirect jobs. And then she decided to hire some federal bureaucrats to do some kind of management operation that will shut the forest down for 1 or 2 years. The $100 million bond is to buy the trust from our school children and make them pay for it. It doesn't make any sense.
So you say we're going to buy the asset so that we don't run it as a forest. We'll replace what the asset used to put into the common school fund by borrowing $100 million and then have the people of the state pay the $100 million back to themselves for the purchase of something the state already owns?
It's probably more complicated than that. The school children own the land. It's held in trust. And so as trustees, they're obligated to manage the land according to the law. The law says to manage the land for maximum possible income. Borrowing $100 million to pay off a trust obligation and then make the people you're borrowing it from pay it back and their parents doesn't make any sense.
By the way, Doctor, I'm talking to Dr. Bob Zybeck from Northwest Maps Company. When I think of what $100 million is as far as, you know, fulfilling an obligation of some kind, I think of that as $5 million a year because you can usually make 4, 5, maybe 6% return on a given amount of money. So if you borrowed $100 million, you might say, well, now I've got a guaranteed revenue stream of, you know, 4 or 5, maybe 6 or $7 million a year at most. How much was the Elliott producing just, say, 20 years ago?
Up until about 20 years ago, it was producing about 50 million board feet a year, actually growing more than that, but that's what was being harvested by Jerry Phillips. And then it's dropped down dramatically since listing of the spotted owl and then the marbled murrelet and then a sue and settle agreement with the three firms that have basically caused these shutdowns.
So would a revenue stream of $5 or $6 million a year replace what the Elliott was giving to the school kids 20 years ago?
No, at today's prices, it's estimated by the state of Oregon that the Elliott should be producing about $25 million a year.
$25 million. So if they wanted to really replace it, they'd have to put aside not $100 million, but maybe $500 or $600 million.
And then they'd have to pay it back.
And then they'd have to pay it back, presumably out of the same money. So the other issue that's come up is this. The governor originally, Governor Kate Brown, was originally in favor of selling the entire forest. Remember, it used to be worth $800 or $900 million for as little as $220 million. And Lone Rock Timber Company stepped up and said, "Okay, we'd like to buy it." And they invested a lot of time and money into that effort to do exactly what the governor said she wanted to do. And then she reneged on the deal, right?
Yep.
And so they're suing the state, and they want to be compensated for. Do they figure their losses on this at maybe $3 million?
I think that's what they're figuring. I think it's a little bit of wishful thinking, but certainly it's a significant sum that they invested in good faith.
And they might have made a whole lot more than that, but if they're just asking to be compensated for the lost time and money, what kind of answer does the governor have for any of this? Because she won't come on this show. I've invited her any number of times, even face-to-face I've invited her, and to come on and answer some questions like this. She won't do it.
Well, and I think that's a real problem. I think we've got people that are managing our state lands that aren't qualified to do it, and so they're looking for the easy way out, and after years of mismanagement, this is their approach.
Well,
it doesn't make sense.
So what's the chance that you can get any state lawmakers behind the Giese plan? Because I would think that when you're saying $460 million to the Common School Fund, 430-plus rural jobs, 35,000 acres just for the birds, for the wildlife, that would be pretty attractive, not just to Republicans who are in the minority, but even to Democrats from those counties and cities where they need the jobs.
Yep. On Saturday, Wayne Giese and I met with Jerry Phillips and with David Gould on the Elliott, and we discussed specifically what we can do. And so we decided, since the land wasn't sold, and there was a single price, a fixed price, and a single bidder, so it was kind of an odd sale to begin with, but we could still go ahead with our concerns to educate the kids. So the Giese plan focused on education. And so our interest now is to approach school boards, politicians, and the schools themselves, and begin studying the Elliott locally through Reed Sport, Marshfield, hopefully Swauk, the local schools, and begin drawing local attention to what's going on.
So, I wish you could tell me, Dr. Zybak, that you had at least a few state lawmakers, the Betsy Johnsons and the Ted Ferriolis and a few of the other state lawmakers who say, okay, I'll get behind that plan, and maybe both Democrats and Republicans. But that's not the case, is it?
Well, we had Ted Ferrioli. The reason where he even undertook this proposal was Senator Ferrioli suggested it. He's been very supportive as far as advice in that, but we really haven't made any effort at all to approach politicians until now. I mean, the last 72 hours, we decided to become more proactive. We found out that offering an innovative plan that resolved all of the things they said they were asking for just fell on deaf ears. It was just it wasn't a legitimate proposal.
Hey, if my listeners want to go and read more about the Giese plan and how it works and what it promises to bring, instead of borrowing money from yourself and investing it, which just sounds really crazy. It sounds like something you'd find in an email from a Nigerian prince sent to you. Where can they read about it on the web?
Well, two places. One, a magazine article came out yesterday where I wrote about this very problem, which is Oregon Fish and Wildlife Journal, Christy Rain's magazine. So it's a good summary there. And then www.orww.org, there will be a link to Elliott Forest, and it'll have my past interviews with you on the topic. It'll have the articles we've written about it. It'll have the legal decisions, and it'll have newspaper and blog accounts. So it's a real thorough, comprehensive approach to what's happening with the Elliott.
And maybe we can get the governor to come on the program one of these days. Dr. Zybak, thanks so much. I appreciate the time.
Thank you, Lars.
You bet. Glad to have you on. Back in a moment. I've got a naysayer who wants to take me to task about the homeless. And we'll get to your phone calls and emails, too, at 866-HEY-LARS. That's 866-439-5277. Oh, and I still want to know who's going to get fired for the bad decision-making. King County officials announcing that a $25 million bridge built just 9 years ago apparently was engineered incorrectly. If that happened at your workplace, do you think somebody would end up losing his or her job? We'll talk about that, too, right here on the Lars Larson Show.